I was out of town this past week, and I just happened to catch Tony Dungy and some others talking about some of the great quarterbacks or the great coaches who have prepared for Super Bowl games. And I thought it was interesting. They were talking about Peyton Manning and how he is one of the greats when it comes to being prepared. They said that he spends tons of time thinking about the game, playing out all the scenarios in his head. Tony Dungy, one of his previous coaches, had made the comment that for one of the Super Bowls, and many of the Super Bowls, he would go back in that 1 week of downtime they would have. He would go watch the previous 16 games that that team that they were going to play had played in the season. He would watch their defense. He'd watch what they would do. He would watch all the nuances of that team. He would over-prepare, you might say. Tony even recalled a time where they had called for rain on the Super Bowl. It was going to rain, and Peyton Manning had caught wind of this, and it was like a great propensity it was going to rain. And so he demanded that Tony Dungy had allowed them to practice that entire week in and it wasn't raining, so they turned on the sprinkler systems and just doused the field, doused the players while they were playing. He wanted to experience what it was going to be like to play with a wet football, play on a wet field, and have his team completely prepared for that moment. Well, as it turns out, it did rain on that Super Bowl, and they were the most prepared. All right, I said all those things to basically say to you this, and that is, we're not going to talk about football today. That's not what I'm here about. And it's not to prepare for the Super Bowl, but to remind us that we as Christians must be prepared. And we as Christians are preparing for something way more important than any earthly event that can happen or thing that we think we need to be prepared for. So this morning, I'll start by asking you two questions. Will he find you ready when he returns? And number two, will you be ready should you die tonight before he comes? Those two things need to be in our minds. As we come to the final chapter in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, and I want to thank Brandon for reading that, we see where Paul is telling the Christians to be prepared for Christ's coming. That's what that entire chapter, and really you could go back in chapter 4, and that's what he's writing about, is preparation, proper preparation for the coming of the Lord. And when you think about that, there's a few things that come into play about being prepared. Well, this chapter starts, and we're going to spend, really I've got two kind of main places we're going to spend the bulk of our day in today. In this chapter, right off the bat, we are told that he's going to come as a thief in the night. And for some, that's how it will be, and for others, maybe not so much. The Lord's coming is going to be a surprise. And for many, it's going to be like that thief in the night that he's talked about here. Verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come, the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." This is what we're preparing for. This day is going to happen, whether you believe it will happen, you want to put your head in the sand about it, as many will do, and it's going to be a complete shock for them, or you know it, and it's going to occur. But for those who are taking heed of the warning of the Scripture of that day, it's not going to overtake them as a thief in the night. That you can read verses 1 and 2, and we can skip down to verse 4. It says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as the thief." For us, hopefully this will be different. Yeah, it's going to be a surprise. We don't know when it's going to be here, so it will be like that thief in the night. But for us as followers of Christ, those who are preparing, it's not going to be like that day of darkness for some who will A, be shocked that it's here, and B, completely unprepared. It will hopefully not overtake us as a thief. We will be prepared. For many, though, it's going to be an inescapable destruction. Well, why? Well, I want you to think back to a time where you were completely caught off guard. Think back to the last time you were completely caught off guard. Something that surprised you completely. Whether that was maybe like myself, you came home to your basement flooded, and the sink being still turned on full bore. Maybe it was you had a car wreck. Maybe you lost your job. Or maybe you found that your son was writing on your couch with a pen. There are things in this lifetime that are completely a surprise to us. I think I've told you this story before, but I had a friend that I worked with that as a young child, his dad was a manager of a cheese factory. And he would get to go play on the forklift. Well, they had one of these forklifts that would go as high as 30 feet in the air. They would stack these things three different levels, 10 feet, 10 feet, 10 feet. So they had this, I've never seen one of these, but it's a big belt system that, you know, with a big boom, and it would raise and lower. Well, he was one day playing on that thing and had his buddy, there was a crate, and they put it on the forklift and had him raise him as high as he could go. And he got to the top and thought he was so cool standing on that crate. Well, he was not prepared for the belt to break. And that thing came soaring down 30 feet to land on the concrete. He broke his back in three places. He lived, but he still to this day has an issue because he was not prepared for that to happen. He didn't think that was going to happen. He was surprised. There are going to be people that are going to be saying peace and safety, that everything's going to be fine. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Not prepared at all. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from the heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. This day will be one of glory for those who are ready. It will be an awesome day. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Because of those who believed and heard, they're going to be prepared. And it will be a great day. Even for those who sleep in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 16. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. For those who are prepared for his coming when he does descend. In that same chapter, a little bit later, verses 17 and 18 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds and meet him in the air, meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with those words. That's a comforting thing. That's something we should look forward to. That's something that should excite us. What will this day mean for us when the Lord comes as a thief in the night? Will it be a day of destruction or a day of delight? Well, it depends on whether you are prepared for his coming. I'm going to give us a few ways to be prepared, three ways specifically. We should live as sons of the day. Verses 5 through 11 in this chapter in 1 Thessalonians help us here. How do sons of the day, not of the night, live? Well, number one, they're watchful and sober. We are children of the light and children of the day. That verse 5 here says, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Because we follow Jesus, and Jesus is the light of the world, we are living as sons and daughters of the day. First John, or John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of the life. John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Being children of the light. Because we are now in Jesus, we walk in this light. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Are you walking as children of the light? Because we cast off works of darkness and seek to walk properly. That's what we as Christians do. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And that's so true. Depending on how long ago it was that you believed, it might have been years ago or it might have been recently, but we're getting closer to that time. It goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly in that day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness or lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Walk in the light. Walk as children in the day. We are to be watchful for His coming. If we stay in 1 Thessalonians, there, verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We can't be like everyone else. We can't stick our head in the sand and just think, well, that's not going to happen. Yeah, none of us know the hour. We can read many places in the Bible that tell us that we don't know and we're not going to know the hour when He comes. But 1 Peter 4, 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. What can we do to be prepared? We can be serious, we can be watchful, we can be thinking about that day, and we can be prayerful. We're to be sober. Verses 6 through 8. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Be sober, be temperate, be especially in regards to drinking of much wine. We in general are to be sober-minded, watchful. We're to be circumspect, walk around thinking about that day, being mindful that Satan is going to do everything in his power to beset us. Jesus tells us to be watchful, be looking for His coming. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 36. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How prayerful are you? How much time do you spend watching and thinking about that day? We should certainly take the promise of Jesus coming seriously, not frivolously. When I was talking about these two teams and how they prepared for the Super Bowl, I want you to think about, and you don't need to go research it, just take my word. They are going to great ends to be prepared for this game this coming week. All the way from the conditions, all the way from knowing every single play that they've either, that the opponents have ever called or have thought about calling. They are working to prepare with every coach, and don't kid yourself, there's many of coaches that are spending many of hours trying to get ready for this day. If that's happening for a ball game, what do you think, how much more prepared should we be as Christians? There's no comparison. It's kind of silly, and I hope that you realize that I only use something that we understand. There are people that are spending tons of time, tons of money to be prepared for this game. And it's a game. What are you doing to prepare for Christ's coming? Well, he goes on to say in verse 8 that we need to be armed and waiting. This is the second way we can be prepared. All soberness, all seriousness, putting on the armor of God, such as the breastplate of faith and love. Faith and love protect our hearts from much evil. Do you think that there's a reason for us to protect ourselves from evil? Absolutely. Faith comes from the Word of God and the love that comes from Him who is the Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Such is the hope and of salvation, which is our helmet. Our hope of salvation, which protects our mind from fear and from doubt. Hope also comes from the Word of God. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. How important is that hope for all of us? We are encouraged to wait because God has appointed us to salvation. If we look at verses 9 and 10, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and whether we are awake or asleep, we should live together with Him. The third way to be prepared is to be comforted and edified. We are to comfort one another. We looked at that verse 11. It's already been read. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. They were doing it for their brothers and sisters then. We're still doing it today. We are edifying one another. We're comforting one another to be prepared for this day. With the comfort we receive from God, of course. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble, with comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. How are we able to comfort each other? Because God comforts us. All of us need comforting at times. And we're there for one another. We're there to build each other up, to edify. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 reminds us of that. A goal as children of the day. We are children of the day, and so we must pursue these things. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. Are you searching for those things that are peaceful? Things that might edify your brother and sister? Are you pursuing those things? What is the primary work of the church? To edify. Edification. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. But speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every part does its share. Everyone here today has a part. By working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. That's how we grow. We help edify one another. If you get nothing out of this lesson, get this, that we are to be prepared by living as sons and daughters of the day. All of those verses that I just read and went through, they are ways for us to be prepared. I want to go back to the Super Bowl for just a minute. I did a little homework. There were 9 Super Bowl games in the past 53 that have been played. 9 of those games were lost by 25 or more points. Of those 9 games, 5 of those games, there was a gap of 32 or more points. Well, in sports, we call that getting routed. They were blown out. And it's interesting because you go back and you read about what is said about what happened in that game. And you know what the first thing the coach says? We probably should have done a little bit better job of being prepared. We weren't prepared. We weren't prepared for and whatever. We weren't prepared for that. There is a huge difference in being prepared for a game and not being prepared for Christ's return. Yeah, it will be a tough day for some sports fans because someone's going to lose that game and they weren't prepared. But it will be a sad day if any of us were unprepared and didn't make it to heaven. It'll be a horrific day. When I think about the anatomy of someone who isn't prepared, I think of a few characteristics. I think of some of these characteristics that put that person in that spot. I grabbed 4 and I stayed in a very similar place and I stayed with Peter. Not to pick on Peter, because we could have all been Peter. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 27 through 31, and I won't read about it, just for sake of time, there was a pride issue. I want you thinking about, do you find yourself being a little bit like Peter? And if so, we've got to recognize that. We've got to abstain from those things because it put him in a spot where he wasn't prepared. We cannot be in that spot. Peter was very boastful. What was his claim? Well, I'm not going to fall away. I won't deny you. That's not going to be me. That won't be my problem. But that was the first step. Because the first step in entering the kingdom is humility. Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 through 4 says, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." If we lose humility, we're going to take a step backwards. If you are not humble, as Peter probably was very confident, he was far from humble, we're going to put ourselves in a spot where we're not prepared. Paul's advice to the Corinthians was pretty apropos in this regard. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the age has come." Go back. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read what's going on before that verse 11. Read exactly what had happened that was written down for our instruction, written down for our learning, written down for them. These things were a list of sinful things that happened to them. So they wrote them down so that not only could they be prepared, but we can be prepared. We get the benefit of seeing those mistakes. We get the benefit of seeing that. Laziness. Mark chapter 14, verses 32 and through 42. Go read that. Go read in Mark chapter 14. It told, there was foretelling about being watchful. But what was Peter's issue? He kept falling asleep. There was a lack of diligent preparation which caused him to be caught off guard. The same thing can happen to us. If we are not diligent to be found prepared, the same thing's going to happen. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 through 36. "But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. Worldliness. This is the third thing that was wrong with Peter. Mark chapter 14, verse 54. We can read that. But we need to be comforted, and we need to be prepared for what the world is going to do, and how they're going to try to trap us, and how Satan is out there like a roaring lion. Close contact with Satan and those who are of Satan or of the night has its effects. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 27 through 29. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. You cannot have friends who are of the night, of the darkness, and not get burned. It's not gonna. It won't work. Denial. Peter denies even knowing Jesus. Well, we can be in denial ourselves. We can be in denial of things that we have, or sin that we are harboring or carrying around that we need to get rid of. Don't deny yourself. Don't be like that verse that talks about the person who looks in the mirror and sees themselves but forgets who they truly are. Don't deny those things. Address them so that you are prepared. In conclusion, I'm going to go back to just a little bit of football. There's a lot of people that have spent a ton of time, I told you, analyzing the silliness of this game. And they want to talk about Andy Reid and how brilliant Andy Reid is as a coach. He may be. He probably is. Maybe he'll go down as one of the NFL's greatest coaches. Maybe he has a really, really sound mind, and he's going to do a great job of preparing his players. You ever notice on the sideline, for those of you who watch, most coaches have a big laminated sheet. They'll put it in front of their face, and they're decoying what they're talking about, and they've got all their plays on this one piece of paper, front and back, loaded with all of their plans to be prepared for that game. Well, you know, he will have his plans, and we all know that having the plans only half the battle. His players will have to go carry that out, or it doesn't matter. I contend that this book, which is way more important, the Bible that we have, it's not one page. It's filled with the plan. And it's a perfect plan. It's different than the silly plan that he carries around on a laminated sheet of paper. It has the perfect plan. But guess what? It's no different than that little laminated sheet of paper. It can be the perfect plan, but if we don't read it, we don't study it, we don't pray about it, we don't drink of it, we don't eat, sleep, and drink of it, it doesn't matter. It's just a plan. But it will leave us unprepared if we don't do it. I probably should have read the parable of the virgins waiting for the bridegroom. We've studied that. We know all about that. That is a perfect story, perfect thought for us on being prepared. There is no do-over. You know, like I said, there's going to be a winner and loser in that game, and it'll go down in history. And you know what's funny is, a year from now, you probably won't even remember who won. You think in that moment, oh, I won't forget. And it's like a year or two later, you can't even remember. It becomes meaningless. There is no do-overs. When that game is done, it's done. It's over with. When Christ comes, whether He comes right now, or you go home and you don't make it to your home, we have to be prepared. There were some of those virgins who were prepared. They were smart. They had prepared for that moment. They had proper oil. And They were not going to be caught unprepared. There was no second chance, if you remember. Some wanted it. Some wanted oil. They wanted someone to, if you will, vouch for them, give them their oil, take good care of them. None of us are going to go to heaven because of what your grandfather or your parent has done. Some of you have, just like me, studied with someone who said, well, my grandpa, I've heard that so many times, well, my grandpa, he was a preacher and he did this, and my father did this, and that's great. But it's not going to get you to heaven. It won't get you to heaven. We must be prepared. My encouragement for you today is to be as those children we read about that are of the day, of the light, not of darkness, not of night, but be children of the day and do all we can do to be prepared. There is many warnings and there is a great playbook that we have for what we can do to be prepared for that coming. So I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope that if you find that today you're questioning yourself as to whether you are truly prepared, do something about that. If you need the help of the brothers and sisters here, that's what we're here to do, is to help comfort, to help encourage, to help us all be prepared. It's all of our goals that we can live, should live with Him eternally. If you'd like to name Him, you'd like to be baptized, you can come forward as we stand and sing.